It's the Dr. Bill Deagle Show, presented by NutraMedical.com. Call live 818-818-6401.
And welcome back. We have Pastor Carl Gallups, who's an amazing author and movie maker. Pastor Carl, you've been busy. We hope to have you on, as we've rescheduled, every second Thursday, so now and, of course, the end of the month. Your latest book, I'd like you to talk about it, and he has it's part of a trilogy. Talk about some of the issues there. You raised a few things in the last show I'd like to expand upon. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bill. It's great to be on the show with you, and I appreciate your kindness. I don't remember exactly where we left off last time I was on the show. I've done so many interviews in between then. But
let me raise a couple of issues I'd like to throw up, because they've come up with other people like Ken Klein, who's a family survivor of the Holocaust, and he raised the same issue you did. He didn't think that the Jews, most of the Jews, want to build a temple, certainly not on the Temple Mount, which is the Temple of Antonius. The second thing is we have right now... Today, Israel's blocked Ilhan Omar and Tlaib, who have criticized Israel from going there, which is good, I think. We have Donald Trump has moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And, of course, I heard that the eventual place that they're going to build the U.S. embassy is actually very close to the Springs of Gihon, which is where the ancient temple was. It appears that the only people who want to build a temple are evangelical Christians and a very small segment of the Jews. Can you expand upon that? Because I think a lot of people, this is something that happens in the Christian church now, which is pretty confused in many ways. Yes. They always want a sign. They want to have a sign of a temple. They want to see certain events happen in order for them to tell them what's next.
Yes.
But, I'd like you to expand on that, because I don't think that the people who are looking for a sign are going to get the kind of signs, because they're not looking in the right place, are they?
I think you're right. And, you know, I always leave room for me to be wrong in these matters, but I can speak from a contextual biblical standpoint, and I can say to your audience, I will soon have another book coming out that will address this as a part of that book. So I'm saying that to say that there will be tons of references from renowned scholars that go back 1,800 years and all through the last 1,800 years who see the same thing that I'm getting ready to talk about. So I just want your listeners to know I'm not pulling this out of my back pocket. Doesn't make me right, doesn't make me 100% right, but it does mean that I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. And here's the deal. Now, I can talk from a biblical contextual scholarly standpoint, and I will, but first let me say this from eyewitness firsthand inside of Israel.
Right.
One of my dearest friends and ministry partners for the last 6 or 7 years, his name is Rabbi Zev, Z-E-V, Porat, right. P-O-R-A-T. He is a messianic rabbi. He's a born-again Orthodox Jew who is he's the founder of Messiah of Israel Ministries, messiahofisraelministries.com. You can find him
right
there. Okay.
Right.
Now, the reason I bring him up is because his father was a rabbi, his grandfather was a rabbi, his great-grandfather was a rabbi. They traced their lineage back, I don't know, 1,000 years, way back before
right.
Israel was a nation. Two of his grandfathers were on the Dayan, the judges. They were judges in the rabbinical courts of Israel. Zev went through the yeshiva, the most prestigious yeshiva in Israel, preparing himself to be a Sanhedrin rabbi. He graduated from that yeshiva and had the certificate or the degree, if you will, that enabled him to do that. And in the midst of all of that is when he found Jesus Christ as Messiah, Lord, and Savior. And he's got an amazing testimony that's in my book, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and the Identity of Messiah. But anyway, bottom line is, he and I have had deep conversations about this matter of the temple. Now, you got to remember, not only does he come from an Orthodox Jewish standpoint, born and raised in Israel, speaks Hebrew as his first language, his mother's side of the family, deeply connected to the Israeli government and the Israeli military, his father's side of the family, deeply connected to the whole Orthodox movement in Israel that goes back before Israel was even a nation. So this guy, he's not 100% correct on everything he says, but he knows what he's talking about
right.
regarding Orthodox matters, Jewish matters, Israeli matters, government matters, military matters. And in this discussion of the temple, here's what he says. He says, first of all, Carl, the scriptures simply don't support a literal reconstruction of a literal temple in the last days, not when you understand the original languages of the Old Testament and the New Testament. But he says, but it's just as important, and I was in Israel with him not too long ago, so I'm going to tell you something firsthand I experienced. But he says that he has a deep, deep connection inside the Israeli government, who's also a high-ranking Israeli IDF military member. And I don't know if he's a relative. He hasn't told me the guy's name, but we've had lengthy conversations. And he said this. He says, my contact tells me and swears that the Temple Institute that is there near the Temple Mount in downtown Jerusalem, it's a museum. And by the way, very few Jews in Israel, Zev says, even know where it is. None ever visit it. It is a tourist attraction for basically Christians from other nations, mainly from the United States. Also, China is a huge attraction because they have a large Christian population, and some of the European countries. The Temple Institute. Now, the Temple Institute is billing itself and marketing itself as an organization that's getting ready to build the third temple on the Temple Mount. Well, Christians all over the world go crazy over that. They salivate over it. And this inside contact told him that the Temple Mount Institute has raised billions, that's B with a billions with a B, billions with an F, of dollars and could build 10 temples on the Temple Mount right now.
Oh, you're kidding. And that's a lot. See, and this shows you, I've changed the name just to be a little sarcastic about it, but I call the evangelicals the evil jellyfish. Somehow they want a sign, you see, because the works gospel, which is being preached by a lot of the church, wants to have a sign. Because a lot of the church believes that good works wipes away sin, just like Kol Nidre with Yom Kippur in Israel. And good works don't. You have to have a relationship with God. God's relationship counts a lot more than good works. And people don't understand this. So when people are looking for a sign, they should understand that even in ancient Israel, when they were giving warnings, it was warnings to repent. It was warnings to restore a relationship. It wasn't warnings to, you know, change and build a different building. It was warnings to change the relationship with the Creator God, wasn't it? Either personally or nationally.
Well, let me finish telling your audience.
Yeah, please continue.
Do what?
Please continue.
Yeah. I want to finish telling your audience this connection because I think they will be shocked by what they hear by the time I've completed. So the bottom line is that this contact has assured Zev that the Temple Institute as a whole, now I'm sure there are some people in it, and I know some would you say that I'm slandering and libeling them by saying this, but I'm telling you what Zev has told me, that his contact inside the Israeli government has said. And I've got all this documented, by the way, from Israeli government sources, actually, that say the same thing, and I've got it in my a book coming up very soon. But what he told me was, he said, look, they've got billions of dollars, enough to build 10 temple structures, and they literally have no intention of ever building a Temple Mount. It's a money-raising scheme for the state and the nation of Israel and for the Orthodox movement. And it's kind of propped up by the government because the Orthodox movement is deeply entrenched within the Israeli government in the same way the Roman Catholic Church is deeply entrenched in churches all over the world.
It's likely that both Trump... Now, let me insert this, and I want to hear your comments. It's very likely that Trump, because he's deeply entrenched with not only the Catholics, but many evangelical and other Christians that believe a temple is going to be built, and this particular Temple Mount Institute in the Israeli government, that a temple, even if it's not going to be fulfilled by Scripture, is very likely to be built anyway, isn't it?
Well, that was where I was going. I was going to say that it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Orthodox movement tries to do something in the way of an altar of sacrifice, a temple on the Temple Mount, etc., because the very, very, very Orthodox believe that they have to have something like that in order for their Messiah, because they've rejected Jesus, to return. But here's the problem. Now, I've got the statistics on this. I don't want to bore your audience with it, and I've got it all documented. But the truth of the matter is, and Zev showed me all of this in writing from Israeli sources, that the vast majority of Jews around the world, much less in Israel, are not only not Orthodox, but a lot of them are secular. I mean, a huge portion, or what we would call nominal Jews.
I'd say 85% is my guess, knowing my relatives, friends, and Jewish friends. They're secular. They're not even religious in any way. They may call themselves a Jew, but they actually don't even go to synagogue or study all of the prayers or anything.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that that's very similar to a lot of Christians in America. You know, 70% of America claims to be Christians when you poll the population, but yet we know that not 70% of the population is born again, spirit-filled, Jesus-loving, church-going Christians. No, what are they? Well, they're nominal Christians. In other words, they would say, well, I'm not an atheist. Well, what are you, a Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim? No, I guess I'm Christian. That's our family tradition. And so, you know, they go to Easter services, they call it. They go to Christmas services, and then they say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, a lot of Jews are like that. They'll celebrate Passover. They'll celebrate, you know, Yom Kippur. They'll go to synagogue. But that's about it. Now, other than that, they get on with life, and then they very quickly tell people, no, I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew. I'm not a Christian. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm a Jew. The vast majority of the Jews around the world are like that, according to these statistics. So it's only the percentage of the population in Israel that is deeply Orthodox is 25% or less.
Wow.
And of that 25%, only a little more than half of them, so now we're down to 13-14%, want a temple on the Temple Mount. Now, with 12-14% of the total population wanting a Temple Mount, and the government has stated we are not going to bulldoze the mosque or blow it up to build a temple, and with 75-80% of the Jewish population in Israel not caring about a temple one way or the other, or vehemently opposed to it, and the ones that are opposed will tell you, because I was in the streets of Jerusalem with Zev a month and a half ago. We interviewed people, just walked up to Jewish people in Jerusalem, just asked them, and they said, no, we don't want one. We don't want World War III.
They know that plowing down the Mosque of Omar is a guarantee of destruction and death of Jews. It's even missiles coming from Iran. It's a catastrophic time. And the other thing is, the place where they're likely to build a temple, if there is one built, is actually the altar they tried to pull in Yom Kippur last year. They brought it into Jerusalem. They tried to get Jerusalem to give them authorization to sacrifice a lamb, but they didn't get it in time. So they sacrificed the lamb outside. They did a wine and a grain offering, and they did bring it in during the issue of Yom Kippur. But what happens is, it's very likely, if there is any kind of temple, it's more likely to be near the Springs of Gihon below the Eastern Gate, which is already Israeli territory. They have total control of that area. It's not near the Muslim area. It's not near a mosque. And if there is something there, I think that they're thinking that if they build this temple, that they're going to restore the religious rites in Israel, including the blood sacrifice of Yom Kippur, to take away the sins of the people in the nation. And the Christians are expecting this temple to be a sign of the 7-year treaty that'll be broken in the middle, that'll actually precipitate the birth pangs and the coming marriage supper of the Lamb. I think the Christians want signs rather than any, and as a result, they're going to be very disappointed, aren't they?
Yes, and you've addressed a couple of areas where I was headed. I was going to tell you and your audience that Zev was at that altar sacrifice on Yom Kippur last year. He was there, present. He's a citizen of Israel, born and raised there, speaks Hebrew, directly connected to all the rabbis, directly. They know him, and he knows them, and has conversations with them regularly. Right. Yet, as a citizen of that nation, he couldn't find it. It was hidden away behind some trees outside of, I forgot the gate, but it was outside the city walls, and it was across a knoll on the other side of a hill behind some trees, a very small altar. They didn't sacrifice a lamb on it. They had killed a lamb somewhere else, had it in an ice chest in a cooler. They brought the cooler up in the back of a truck. They pulled it out and had a barbecue, basically. And there was about 30 or 40 people there, yet they had cameras rolling. They were live streaming and trying to make people think that, you know, this was a huge, big Jewish thing. And the Jews of Israel weren't even there. They didn't even know about it. Zev couldn't find it. In fact, there was an American who was in Israel that knows Zev, who had spent 2 days looking for the location, finally found it, got it confirmed, and then had to call him on his cell phone to get directions to how to get to his own city, how to find this so-called altar. When Zev got there, he went to the people that were in charge of it, because they all knew him, and he said, what are you doing? This is a farce. And they said, well, you know, we just want people to know we're trying to do this. We're trying to raise funds.
And they raised a lot of funds already. I've heard about the Temple Mount Association bringing them.
And the evangelicals were going crazy, and they were writing articles that Jews have built an altar, and they're starting the sacrifices again when nothing could be further from the truth.
Tomas, gentle voices is wafting us into the future. And we have the amazing Carl Gallup. So, Carl, what is your website? And people can get your books, of course. Pastor Carl Gallup, you're on Amazon. You're on many other places to get the books. The latest one is called the...
Yeah, it's called Gods of the Final Kingdom. And, yes, my website is just myname.com, carlgallups.com, carlgallups.com. And, yeah, my books are sold, especially the last four that are with Defender Publishing. They're sold wherever good books are sold. I mean, even secular stores. You can go to Barnes & Noble and Books A Million and find them. But Amazon and then mom-and-pop stores have them. Excuse me, and you can get them. But anyway, the latest one is Gods of the Final Kingdom, and it just released. Another one that released earlier this same year, so I've had two out this year, is The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah. And if they'll go to my website, they can click on the banner, they can see the book, they can read inside the book, they can see the table of contents, they can watch a promo video, they can see the back cover, front cover, and read some endorsements, etc. So just go to my website, carlgallups.com.
Yeah, and by the way, I want to spell that for people. So it's carlgallups.com, carlgallups.com. So, Carl, please continue. You said you gave us a preview that you wanted to talk about specific issues of your experience recently in Israel. Please continue.
Yeah, thanks. And I just want to tell you folks, if they'll go to carlgallups.com/books, it'll take you right to the book page of these last four books, and there's package deals there and bulk rates, and we can sign them and just shipping free and all that. They just need to check that out. Okay, so when I was in Israel, about a month and a half ago now, I was there for several weeks, and Zephrat and I did a lot of ministry together. So we went up to the Temple Mount one day, and we went to the Temple Institute. We went into the offices there. Now, Zeph speaks Hebrew as his first language, but he has no Hebrew accent when he speaks English because his father was so famous, was over some yeshivas, some schools, Jewish schools, and some synagogues in the United States, that Zeb was also came with his father and raised in the United States and was put in American schools. So the English he learned, he speaks with a very American accent. So the two of us went in, and he spoke nothing but English. And we just started asking. There were two women there who were administrating the offices that day. But we told them, we didn't lie to them. We didn't try to trick them. We just spoke, and then we let them make whatever connections they wanted. But we just asked the question, how much money, how much of a check would we need to write today to the Temple Institute? And boy, their eyes got huge. I think they thought they saw a couple of billionaire Americans, you know. And I said, how much of a check would I need to write that to give to the Temple Institute so that we could start this construction on the temple now? I mean, let's get it going. Let's bring out the stuff. Right. Let's get it started. Let's start pulling all the political strings. How much money do you need to finish this?
Right.
And she said, oh, we don't know. There's no amount. Just give what you can. And I said, ma'am, you don't understand. I said, I'm asking you, how much money would somebody need to write a check for to get it done now? Not just fundraising. I'm talking about let's get it done. Well, how long are you going to be here? I said, oh, we'll be here for a couple of hours in this area. Well, listen, let me call the chief rabbi. I want to get an answer. Boy, she was so happy. She just knew she was going to be a hero and get a check for millions of dollars right there. So in about 45 minutes, we went back, and she came bouncing up to us and had the other woman with her. We talked to the chief rabbi. And I said, okay, how much money? She said, he said to give all that you can give. And I said, well, that's not an answer. I said, look, I build buildings, and by the way, I do. I've built quite a few in my ministry time, sanctuaries and education buildings, et cetera. And I said, I build buildings, and I know how that works. You have an estimate of what you need, and even if there's an overrun, you still can get very close. I need to know a figure. And she said, well, the rabbi said that there was really no figure, just to give the very most that you could give. And I said, well, that's not any way to raise funds. I can't believe that's how you raise funds. And I said, so what if I wrote you a huge check? And she said, yes, that would be good. That would be good. And I said, well, let me finish. I said, what if I wrote you a huge check, and then you know, what are you going to do with it? Well, we'll just, as soon as we can start the temple, we will. And I said, well, what's holding you back? I said, if it's money, I said, let me talk to you about how much you need. She said, well, you know, there's some politics too. I said, oh, well, why didn't you say that? I said, so if I give you a huge check and the politics stand in the way, what do we need to do then? She said, without even taking a breath, she said, we need to raise more money. I said, well, if we raised even more money than everything we could give, what would that do? She said, maybe it would change the politics if we showed them how much money we had. And I said, and if it didn't, what would you do? She said, well, we would need for you to give us more money.
Oh,
they literally said that, Dr. Bill. And we're standing
Bizarre. I mean, that's bizarre, isn't
money,
it?
It's a money-making scheme, I'm telling you. Now, this does not count the fact that there are genuine, legitimate Orthodox Jews who pray fervently, who want a temple. Their heart's desire is to see a temple on that Temple Mount. But I'm telling you, it's a minuscule amount of the population. It's a teenier amount of that than the entire Jewish population in the world. And it's only the deep, deep, minuscule, tiny part of the Orthodox movement that's even talking about it. But what they have learned that evangelical Christians around the world want a temple on that Temple Mount more than the Jews want it. So they've learned that it is a way to rake in billions of dollars of funds, and they're doing it. And every now and then you'll see it appear in the headlines of some, you know, some online internet publication, some out of Israel, some from around the United States. You know, the Jews are getting ready to build a Temple Mount, and the funds pour in from the United States, when actually that's not what's getting ready to happen. Now, I'm just telling the truth. I know some of your audience might not like it, but I'm telling you from me being there, talking to the people, from Zev living there, connected to the government, connected to the military, connected to the Orthodox movement deeply, speaking Hebrew as his first language, listening to the rabbis teach about this thing. The vast majority of the Jewish rabbis do not want a temple on the Temple Mount. It is a money-making thing. And so what I say to the evangelical church in America, quit reading the novels and watching the movies that have dramatized this thing that probably is not going to be a part of the last day scenario. Probably. I could be wrong. But based upon all that I just said, plus deep biblical connections that I can make, I mean, I can take the scriptures that they use. There's only three scriptures in the New Testament that people use to quote, prove there's going to be a temple. And the main one comes out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Right.
And I can promise you that does not speak of a temple on the Temple Mount. It does not in no way contextually.
No,
it is impossible that that's what it means.
You know,
anyway,
you opened up a big can of worms here in the studio on this show, which is good. I have another can of worms for you. I have a good friend who I've actually brought books back from America back in 1999 to Israel. It was actually a book that was published and printed in America by Avi Lipkin, who goes by the writer's name Victor Mordecai.
I know him personally. I was just with him in Israel.
Right.
I had dinner with him twice.
I have had, he's a good friend of mine, actually, but he differs with me in a couple of things, because I like to raise questions up that make people kind of squirm. I mean, I'd like to say I have more questions than answers. I'm like a three-year-old that never wants to become four. Two-year-olds learn to speak in sentences. Three-year-olds ask questions that make adults squirm, and four-year-olds will eventually learn to shut up. I have no intentions of ever becoming four. So I raised the question when I had him on a few months ago. Because his book is called Christian Revival for Israel Survival. And I brought boxes back to his wife in North Jerusalem back in 1999. That's 20 years ago. And I asked him, because I've had him on the show on and off for, you know, 20 years, right? And I asked him, I said, now, you've gone to a lot of ministries, a lot of Christian churches. How have you not accepted the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach? Because he's there ministering to Christians to try to convince the Christians should support the state of Israel. But he doesn't personally accept Messiah HaMashiach. Now, there's a lot of Jews that are very intelligent. He's an intelligent man. And I asked him this question. He got really, you know, basically upset. In fact, upset to the point where he said, you know, you upset me by asking these kind of questions last time. I said, yeah, well, I said it should upset you, because it upsets me that a fellow Israelite, because I am Hebrew and Kohanim blood, haven't accepted Messiah yet. now they're Messianic Jews. I remember the Messianic Association of Israel I met back in 1999 at Dizengoff Circle in Tel Aviv. I know these people personally. And these are Jews that came from everywhere, from Russia, from all over the world, and they actually converted. And when they converted, by the way, if you're a neurosurgeon from Russia and you convert to become Messianic, a lot of time you lose all your benefits. In fact, you may not even be able to get a job sweeping outside in front of a cafe. Israel exactly. persecutes those who become Messianics after they were, quote, if you want to call it Jews beforehand, that even were secular Jews, but you're Jews by title and by stamp. And, you know, I want to raise this issue because I want Jews to realize your nation physically, emotionally, spiritually will not survive unless you repent. It's not just a matter of that personal survival of Jews to become, I mean, it says in the book of Psalms that they shall see the one they have pierced. And I think it even comes up with a number that God is clever enough. That one-third of Jews will repent and see the one they pierced, i.e. Yeshua. And it grieves me that my fellow human beings, especially fellow Jews, people in part of my own blood, my grandfather spoke Yiddish, are not repenting and accepting Messiah because the end of the age is coming. I mean, right now, how many missiles do you think are aimed in Syria by Hezbollah from Iran, and these are not just non-targetable like Scud missiles, but really accurate, we can hit within a matter of cubic yards. How many missiles do you think are aimed at the guts of Israel right now?
Oh, I don't have a clue. I imagine there's a bunch.
250,000 regular missiles and at least 225,000 highly targetable missiles that can take out a building or go through a window. Israel is doomed, okay? And they're now trying to take a policy of going and trying to get these missile silos put there by Iran and Hezbollah, and the Iranians believe when their 12th Imamers, they call it, believe it or not, they believe when the 12th Imam shows up, they have to bring about a nuclear war in order for Islamification of the world to happen. Now, lots of Muslims don't believe this, but the Muslims, supported by the mullahs, but Rouhani, in Iran, believe this.
Yeah.
Which means if they can't attack Israel and try to destroy it and start World War III, they can't Islamify the world.
Yeah.
They're not like Russians that have some common sense, even if they're drinking vodka, that don't want to die or have all their relatives and all their babushkas die. The Muslims want to bring about a great big war to Islamify the world, and they don't even care if most of their citizenry dies when they do this stupid thing.
Right. No.
That's how crazy this is. So this is the end of the road, and the Russians, unfortunately, are tied. People don't realize, do you know how much of the Russian army are Muslim? 42%, and it's increasing rapidly. And most of them come from non-Russian countries like Tajikistan, Azerbaijan, etc. And do you know who they look up to, their religious leaders? It's the mullahs and Rouhani.
Yeah.
And previously the Ayatollah Khomeini. By the way, we, the British and the CIA, put Ayatollah in there after they put out the Shah. And the Shah was put in there after they didn't like the original guy that was in there trying to get the British to put a petrochemical plant in there. You know? People don't understand what's going on here. We've actually loaded the gun, and somebody's got the safety off.
Yeah. Well, and that goes, I mean, you're right, and that goes to the discussion we were having about the temple. So many Christians are looking for a temple to be built, and the third temple fervor and fever, and, you know, and they base a lot of it upon the popular teachings of novels and movies and, you know, the end times, and schisms and isms of eschatology and the charts and the graphs and the maps. In the meantime, the Word of God is very clear, and especially that passage in 2 Thessalonians, which we can get to if you want, but also just coming, I'm just telling folks what the Jews in Israel are saying. And if anybody's going to build a temple, it'll be the Jews in Israel. It won't be the Christians in the Bible Belt of America.
Well, they'll supply some money, but I'll tell you what my guess is. I'd say I put about a 90%+ chance a temple will not build on the Mosque of Omar, but near the Springs of Gihon by evangelicals funding it and the small segment of Jews who want to have a temple, and they'll be looking for a sign. The sign's not going to happen. They're not going to get an advance warning.
And
it also is not going to turn Jews to accept Messiah HaMashiach. See, the accepting Messiah doesn't mean you start a blood sacrifice. In fact, I have an interesting term I want to run by you. Firstly, the rabbinic society that has the Temple Mount was set up in 2016. In fact, the entire rabbinic council was completed the same year as Trump was elected. And they're setting up a peace treaty, and when they do this, The setting up of the abomination that desolates is basically saying a piece where we're going to have a blood sacrifice, that'll substitute for the blood of Yeshua. That's an abomination that's going to desolate Israel. Israel doesn't realize it's actually tempting its own destruction, doesn't it?
Yeah, when we come back from the break, I would like to address that and a couple of other things.
Let's go back to that when we come back. And welcome back. And we have Pastor Carl Gallops here. He'll be back in 2 weeks. Pastor Carl, you've got some amazing wisdom. I need to have you impart some more of your travels and your connections in Israel, because this needs to be spoken to not only the Christians, but also the Jews and Christians in Israel and people around the world, because I believe that if you want to call it the detonator, you're almost like the pin for the eventual destruction of the world is actually, if you want to call it, in the grenade of Israel. How's that?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I really want to, it shouldn't take me much longer at all, but I really want to kind of put a bow on what I was saying about the temple, because I certainly don't want to be misquoted. I know
right.
You won't, and I know your audience won't do it on purpose, but
right.
Somebody may listen to this later, and if I didn't finish, then they're going to say, I can't believe he said this. But here's the point. So if the Jews as a whole, and I'm speaking 80% of the Jews in Israel, either do not want a temple on the Temple Mount, or they don't think about it one way or the other.
Right.
And the ones that don't want it are vehement, because they don't want a war. They don't want a world war. All right.
Right. If they try to move the Mosque of Omar, because right now, even all in the last few weeks, there was apparently a ceremony last week where there was a big conflict over this Muslim ceremony, and it caused a big conflict on the Temple Mount with police and so on. Even the idea of going up there, for example, Ariel Sharon went back many years ago, must be almost 20 years ago, around with a number of shielded people just walking around the Temple Mount near, I think, a Muslim holy day. And it caused a catastrophe, and he was at the time the Prime Minister of Israel. So this is a big deal, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And that's what I'm saying here to your audience. I want to make sure they hear this.
Right.
That there's a very small, teeny minority, and this is not just me making this up. This comes
right.
straight out of Israel, straight out of the government, straight out of the rabbinic movement, straight out of the mouth of a man born and raised there who's connected to all of those things and who really wants to know the truth of it and has come to the truth, and that is there is no intention of any formal, powerful movement of the government or the Jewish people to build a temple on the Temple Mount. And here's the thing, Brother Bill,
right.
is that it is this whole thing is fueled and financed by evangelical Christians around the world, largely from America.
Right.
And it is a huge money-making thing. And I say to these Christians, I say, look, number one, you think that a temple is going to be built on the Temple Mount in the last days, and you're funding it. You also believe, according to that same belief that believes in a third literal temple that's got to be built,
right.
that's the temple of the Antichrist. So you are funding the temple of the Antichrist instead of funding missions and outreach and evangelism?
Exactly.
And
in other words, this is a symbol. The Antichrist goes in and actually declares that he is the God of Earth.
Yes. Now, very quickly, let me talk about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says he will set himself up in the, quote, temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Here's the problem with saying, oh, well, that's the temple, that's your proof. No, that's what you read in the English. But the problem is, and I do a deep study of this, and Zev Peratt, who speaks Hebrew, has backed all of this up. But the bottom line is, in the Greek, there are two words used that are translated in English as temple. One of them is hieron, H-E-I-R-O-N. The other one is naos, N-A-O-S. Hieron speaks of the actual temple building with the courts and the inner temple and the inner sanctuary, the temple that was on the Temple Mount, the hieron.
Right.
All right. The naos speaks of the inner place or the holy place of the temple, or the Greek dictionary say, or used metaphorically to speak of the church itself or the inner sanctum where the Holy Spirit resides in a person's soul.
Consciousness.
The naos. So let me finish this. This is important.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Paul, who wrote almost half of the New Testament documents, he uses the word Iran, which is the literal temple, one time. One right. time in the scriptures when he talks about those who serve in the temple are you know, offer the sacrifices in the temple, and he talks about that, and he uses that word twice in one sentence, and he uses the word he, Iran. Every other time he uses the word naos, and he never speaks of a literal temple again, but rather what he says is, do you not know that you are the Naos of God? Do you not know that God is building a new Naos of Jew and Gentile, the one new man, with him as the head?
That's why he's preparing
that the Holy Spirit of God lives in the Naos, the holy place. You are the temple, that the church is the temple. When you get to 2 Thessalonians 2, he says, and in the last days he will set himself up in the Naos of God.
Let me give you an insertion of some factoids, okay? God let me have a supernatural visitation October 10th, 1993. 9 months of the day later, I went to work to have, it was above top secret clearance at Schriever Air Force Base, which is a primary node for the Matrix or the movie like The Mark of the Beast. 42 years ago, I was going to work at UCLA on the World MS Tissue Brain Bank and Electronic Microscopy Lab because my first wife was dying of MS. And DARPA insisted they wanted to work with me because they were going to do genetically engineered altered female fetuses to create a female super soldiers that were 12 times stronger than normal humans with genetically engineered and a magnetronic non-liquid nitrogen-cooled helmet to convert thoughts to onboard commands. And they wanted me to hack into their cortex and the alphabet of the human cortex so they could create cyborgs. The 5G network, unfortunately, that Donald Trump is pushing, and the electronic messaging that Elon Musk with his chip is talking about, the death of the soul, is the final stage of the Mark of the Beast system, if you want to call it, is hacking into the human cortex so you can literally have children get a video game, say, 2 or 5 years from now, where they can literally enter cyberspace, where they don't have to have eyes or ears, they can actually enter cyberspace directly through a cortical interface. This, I believe, is the final where the Naos is being invaded. So in other words, the final layer is you literally lay your soul out, your consciousness, and your intentions of your heart to the dark side. And that's where I think us being the temple, because you see, God wants to prepare us to be the bride of God. It's our destiny for the human race to become married and become the everlasting bride of the heavens, not heaven, of the heavens. So the human race actually gets sanctified and the Edenic covenant gets reestablished. So God literally, in a sense, through Yeshua, marries the human race so we become the bride of God. And what I see happening is the opposite's going on. We see evil taking over. We see social media. We see, Operation Crimson Mist, where they're using technology to try to hack into the human cortex. And because I had classified access to information, they're doing this stuff, including the U.S. military and in tech companies like Google and Facebook and Elon Musk and others. They want to hack into your intentions of your heart. They don't want to just know what you want to buy and sell through Amazon. They don't want to know what you think. You know, in China, they have factories where they have helmets where you can actually tell if someone's stressed or what they're thinking, and they'll pull them off production lines today and have for the last 4 years in China by wearing a thought-control helmet. Did you know they already have that now in China?
Yeah.
I'm
listening to you. Go ahead, brother.
So what I'm saying is I believe that what you're saying is the Naos is really important principle. The temple, and that's why I like the temple in the desert, The temple had the sea cow skins, which are white on the outside and red on the inside. It was actually an archetype of the human body. Because the original temple in the desert, that Moses carried around and they'd have a higher place around all of the 12 tribes, was an archetype of the human body with the hearth being the heart and the Holy of Holies being the brain. I believe it was an archetype of God saying, I'm going to make you my temple, which he did when he did the blood sacrifice. He died on the cross. He literally made a covenant to make us his temple, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And the point I'm trying to make here before we go off the air, because I cannot be misquoted on this, Dr.
Right.
Bill, or I'm going to be in trouble. So
I've
got to finish making my point.
I want you to finish yours. I'm not going to interrupt you. I want you to finish because you're not about 6-7 minutes.
I mean, brother, it's your show. I just want to make sure.
No, I want you to elaborate because this is important. We won't be back for 2 weeks. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got into a deep area, and I just want to make sure that I'm understood. The bottom line is, and we don't have enough time now for me to do what I wanted to do, but the bottom line is, that The scriptures, Jesus warns us. Paul, who wrote almost half the New Testament documents, he warns us. Peter warns us. John warns us. The book of Revelation warns us. The seven letters to the seven churches warn us that in the very last days, there is going to be a demonic, satanic incursion into the naos, the church,
right,
into people's hearts, into the institutional outward church, and even into the hearts. Even the very elect could be deceived, if that were possible.
Into the consciousness and the intentions of their heart, is what you're saying.
Yes, it will be so demonic. The Spirit clearly says in the last days there will be doctrines of demons. And I mean, the Bible just so
right.
clear. Jesus told parable after parable about the yeast working its way through the dough in the last days, about the
right.
tares being planted by the enemy among the wheat, about the final harvest that's coming, and about the apostasy and the great falling away. And so Paul uses that word naos on purpose when he says, and in the naos of God in the last days, not the hieron, the naos, he says, there is where this Antichrist spirit and this Antichrist that's going to rule the world for a little while, there is where he's going to set himself up and say, I am God, and you better worship me or I will kill you. And the point is, Christians of today's world are missing what's really happening in the world because they've bought into novels and movies as their theology rather than what the Word of God says. And let me finish, brother. I go to Israel. I talk to the people in the Temple Mount. I talk to Jews that live there. I talk to people that are connected to the government and to the deep Orthodox movement. And they're not going to build a temple, brother. Nobody there wants it except a very, very few. And the evangelical Christians around the world are pouring money in there by the billions trying to build a temple for the Antichrist. It's crazy.
Well, if they do build something, it'll be a distraction. The real issue is... The real thing is things like the big tech companies like Google, Facebook are all tentacles of the beast, trying to not only hack into your mind, and with 5G network and some of the newer technologies that are coming. In fact, I have a custom-made supercomputer. It's fast enough that you can actually get a headphone band right now and actually control your computer by thought. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And they built that chip last year. It's a chip fast enough to take thought to control it. They want to have it bi-directional. And once they do that, which the cell phone companies have talked about, to sell the next generation of cell phones, you won't even have to have ears. You'll have a direct cortical interface with thought, with sight, and with hearing. That is scary. And that's where I think the not-os is actually the taking over of the consciousness of the population. And people, just like when they love their cell phone, as they say to be sarcastic, in these future cell phones, all you have to do is make a mandatory Velcro law. You have to have a cell phone with this new technology attached by Velcro to some body part, like your shoulder or your right hip. Ha ha. But you're right, the Nahos is us. We're the Nahos. Then if we don't stay discerned correctly, we're going to welcome the Antichrist in this global supercomputer system that is all-seeing, like Amazon and NSA and the Virtual World Project, which they put together called Project Omega, that was channeled by the Thule Society, the Transdimensional Thule Society of Germany that formed our OSS and our CIA, and the Five Eyes that actually created the spies against Trump. People don't know this system is nascently moving quickly toward this eventual end where they can actually enter and control and insert ideas into your consciousness. That's where we're going, isn't it?
It surely seems that way. That's where technology is headed.
And of course, even before that, we have the churches inserting apostolic ideas that are basically anathema to the gospel, right?
That's right.
So I think you clarified yourself. I think you're basically saying it's the naos, people. It's not the... what was the first term used for the building?
The first term was hieron, but the point I'm trying to make is that the only word that Paul uses is the... I've lost my place, Brother Bill.
It's a naos, I think you made your point. Amazing discussion today. I'm so impressed with what you've said. We'll see you again in 2 weeks' time. Go to carlgallops.com, get his books, get informed, start some serious prayer, get a prayer group together in your home, and start realizing that we are the naos, we are the temples of God, and we have to protect that temple from false ideas, from abnormal eschatology, and do not support or build a temple in Israel. It'll be a distraction and prevention of Jews repenting to turn back to Yeshua, and Christians who think they need a sign, but they aren't looking for the sign of God inside them today. Eternity starts today, not at the moment of your death. Thank you, Pastor Gallup's amazing discussion. Which was most important.